Heard. I am still alive, so I move out of my dark's cave-like office and let the sun sip tears from my pooling eyes. I learned I am dying, but all this psychic pain is nothing if death will erase it. I am still alive, so I buy Jamaican food at a Jamaican restaurant and savor the muddy sauce of the brown stew while ogling the sunny Jamaican cashier who looks me dead in the eye and tells me love is not dead, but on life support. I say, I learned I am dying, and she laughs and says, good one. I laugh too to keep the unknown at bay. Cuddled dogs whine like babies to me. I will never have babies. I let that sink deep and forget it, though I can't. I'm still alive as I move by a park teeming with laughing children. The sun finds comfort in a crib of trees. And suddenly, fall shines with greater focus. Wind-carried orphaned leaves serenade streets. I like to think I'm dreaming, but the horn from a sick car brings up reality. A young woman of about 20 models by. She doesn't even acknowledge me, and I imagine that's how death is. A gorgeous woman oozing by without seeing me. She's decked in super tight whitish yoga pants, her ass bouncing like a basketball, her hair knocking on her ass like a good dribbler. I get hard, and it makes me sad to think I haven't made love to enough angel-faced women. And now I'm on the edge of leaving Earth. I may attend a brothel, I chuckle. That's heaven. I suddenly believe in heaven, a place of no worries, but not hell, a cruel fairy tale. I am still alive, so I hoop it up with some kids. My jump shot is still alive, and I rain threes. The kids tackle me, but I cannot be stopped like death. At home, an ancient apartment on Edgewood Ave, I make love to myself, imagining coming like leaving this pretty awful world. Someone once said, death is the ultimate orgasm. I am still alive, so I shower slowly, allowing the massaging water to cure my worries. I am still alive, so I enter my wound-red centra to go see my father. The sky is a new version of blue. I am still alive, so I note how father creaks with a cane from an accident with a crane at work several years ago. Blind in one eye, 1.5 legs. Cracked ribs. Are you okay? I say. He says, I am dying. We are all dying. Even the newborn is marching towards death. I say, who have you been reading, Dad? He laughs. Wind nods the trees. He says, he recently flew to Jamaica, where he built a house overlooking a sea big woodland. I tell him I love him, even though I know he's a womanizer who left me in Jamaica when I was born to marry America. He once owned 2 wives at once, mom in Jamaica and a cold woman in Connecticut, plus a woman in every parish. But he's never felt connected because he is the unwanted product of an affair between his aunt's hubby and his mom. So the father, so the son. Dad once told me life is really freaking short, and the only place to find joy is in a woman's smile. Heaven is a beautiful gal, he had said. Go find you some. He doesn't know what to say, so I tell him I love him again. And he says, your face has always told me something different. Not now, I say. I really love you, Dad. What's wrong? He says, nothing. I say, thank you for bringing me to America, a place like heaven, if you want it to be. I'm still alive, so I fly to Canada to see my mom, who is anger-fighting godliness. She greets me at the airport, dressed in a sunny, dark green dress. How's Trump's America? She wants to know. I say, he doesn't take office until 2017, Mom. Her face softens. I don't call her mom often. Son, she says, I've missed you. Come stay in Canada for good. Trees scroll by like crumpled paper. Her barber husband is driving. His night vision is poor, and he nurses the car along. I say, I don't know about living in Canada. I have to see how bad things get in the U.S., Ma. The moon dangles like a dying bulb over clusters of houses, followed by wide open spaces. I see more houses than people in Canada, it seems. The streets are cleaner than a germaphobe's place, but it's wickedly cold, like the air has teeth that nibbles at your senses. And there is a silence everywhere, like light that never goes out. Mom's condo sits like a nest of bricks on a mountain that looks like the back of a dinosaur. I am still alive, so I head out with my stepfather's 23-year-old son, Rick, who is so beautiful, women look away when he glides by, lest they get sucked into wanting him. The women who look at him slither up and beg him for directions and tell him they like his moon-bright shoes. He looks like a brown Brad Pitt. It's sickening to think my life has been this hell because I'm not beautiful. As we head downtown, women throw themselves at Rick, and all he does is grin and jerk his head back to look at me to make sure I'm catching it all. It's confusing. I thought women played tight to get into. In the mirror of the cloud-touching glass building, I see that my teeth are buck and yellow, and that my mother never took the time to fetch me braces the way she never got me glasses, but got glasses for herself. I could stand to lose 20 pounds. My head is as round as a deflating basketball. The black people in Canada look like they carry a lighter weight of racism. The cops don't seem to want to shoot everyone. The clean air clears my senses. The black men stroll with grateful white women. The black women are so gorgeous, they appear like flowers somehow sprouting in the deadly cold. Rick's beauty lights the streets. Pale groups of women stop him to ask him if he's a movie star. I'm still alive, so I get jealous and tell him I'll see him whenever later. He says, no problem, man, in his poor Jamaican accent. When I get back to the condo, I see that Mom has this after-cried face, and I ask her what's wrong, and she says she has missed out on my life. Her face is as soft as a swamp from bleaching creams. She is short like a middle schooler with an unending supply of sarcasm and stories dug up from our past countryside lives in Jamaica. I tell her I love her, and her face hardens into puzzlement. She locks her eyes, and I think she has been waiting for me to say that ever since I was 13 and she left me for good in Jamaica so she could reunite with her deadbeat preacher father here in Canada. She unlocks her eyes with a smile as dark comes on like a comforter.